was a great man of God that lived in the 1800s. His name was Smith Wigglesworth. He was known for many, many miracles. And this is what he says right before he died. I see it. I see it. Shutting his eyes again, he said, I see the greatest revival in the history of mankind coming to planet Earth, maybe as never before. I see the dead being raised and every form of disease being healed. I will not see it in my lifetime, but I see it in my spirit. It is coming. And I say to Brother Wigglesworth, who's now in heaven, you saw it coming, and now we say it is here. We say that revival is here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There was a prophecy given at Azusa, at the Azusa outpouring by William Seymour. I can read that one too, since that's the next one up. This is from, that's okay. I'll read that one now. This is called the 100-year prophecy. It wasn't an exact 100 years. It wasn't saying 100 years from now to the date. But this is William Seymour, whom God raised up to lead the great Azusa revival that literally brought the Holy Spirit to many parts of the world. And most Pentecostal denominations, not all of them, but many Pentecostal denominations were born out of the Azusa Street revival. He said 100 years from now, the greatest revival, you got to remember the year was 1906 in the Azusa Street revival, but he said this at the end of the revival. 100 years from now, the greatest revival in the history of the world will occur. They will witness the fullness of the former and the latter reigns of God, and they will see the Shekinah glory manifested in its fullness. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for latter rain, and I'm ready for the fullness of the glory of God. I'm ready to see the Shekinah cloud of God hovering in the room. Another prophecy was given by Lester Sumrall. This is right before his death. He said, I see a revival coming that will not last long, but it will come upon young men and women who are not well known or not even greatly appreciated. He said, you're not going to know their names. You have never heard of them before, but God's going to raise up a generation with a voice. He's going to raise up a generation with a passion, and he's going to put a microphone in their hand. They're going to turn aisle 9 at Walmart into a pulpit, and they're going to be preaching in coliseums, and they're going to be preaching in gymnasiums and football fields, and around the world, their voice will be heard. There was a prophecy given by a man who's spoken in this pulpit many times, Tony Suarez. Tony was speaking at a conference, and he gave a very strange prophecy. And honestly, he told me himself that after he gave this prophecy, he got scared to death because he thought it couldn't happen other than by supernatural intervention, because what he prophesied is impossible. He said, and I won't read all of it to you. I'll just tell you about the prophecy. But in September the 17th, 2021, he said, I had a vision of the open heavens, and God said that I'm going to send the northern lights across the entire United States. Now, get this, folks. That's not normal. The northern lights are called the northern lights for a reason, because they're northern, and they're way northern, as a matter of fact. You can't see them hardly anywhere but Alaska and Canada, because they're way up north. But he said, God is going to send a phenomenon. He is going to send the northern lights across the United States, and that will be a sign that after the northern lights shine across the United States, that revival is coming and will break out in America and will break out around the world. Look at the next screen. That was in 21. In May 10, 2024, last year on May the 10th, you could see the northern lights in every state, including Florida. You could see the northern lights in Florida. We saw them in Tennessee. We saw them in our backyard in Tennessee. Every state in the United States saw the northern lights, which was only a supernatural phenomenon, because God said, I want this evangelist to prophesy that God is getting ready to release revival around the world. We have already seen the plague. We've already seen the time frames come and go. We've already seen the northern lights. I am ready for the rains of heaven to send a gully washer of the Holy Ghost in this room and every room across the USA and the world. So I'm going to give you four prophecies, and that's what I'm going to give you. And I'm going to prove to you that these four prophecies are happening right now. Actually, five. I forgot about the last one. I'm going to give you five real short prophecies. And I'm not going to preach much more. I'm going to segue a few things that we're going to show you as I present the evidence.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
Here's the first prophecy. Noah's prophecy. It's called the Noah prophecy. It's found in Genesis chapter 8. Noah sets a dove free. A dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Noah sets a dove free in the ark. And when the dove is set free, here's what the Bible says. He sent the dove out from himself, a dove, to see if the waters had receded from the ground. But the dove found no place, no resting place. Look at that. The dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned into the ark to him. What is that? That is how the Holy Spirit would operate in the Old Testament. No place to land. He would come and go, come and go. You could not be filled with the Holy Spirit. He could not stay in you, because that's the operation. The first flight of the dove was the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. But look at the second flight of the dove. He waits 7 days, and that's a time period that talks about completion. So that time frame is come and gone. And he waited yet another 7 days, and he sent the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth, and Noah knew the water had receded from the earth. Why an olive leaf? Because the olive branch is the symbol of Israel, and the Lord was prophesying, Acts chapter 2, that on the day of, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were gathered in an upper room in Jerusalem, Israel, and the Holy Spirit came down like a rushing mighty wind, and tongues of fire set down upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Now the Holy Spirit has found a place to land. Now the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Jesus told the disciples, he will be with you, but he will also be in you. Hallelujah. Now you can be filled, not just indwelt, but you can be overflowed. You can be flowing out of you. Yes, yes, I believe in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but don't stop there. You can be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but you need to be infilled with the Holy Spirit. And one is when the Holy Spirit goes in, but the filling of the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit flows out of you like a mighty rushing river that is flowing out of your life. And that was prophesied by the second flight of Noah's dove. But that's not the last dove. There is another dove that has to fly. I call this the final flight of the dove. He waited another 7 days and sent out a dove which did not return to him anymore. I'm telling you, there is one more moving of the Holy Spirit that is a worldwide moving. That first dove said the Holy Spirit will move in the Old Testament. That second dove said the Holy Spirit will move in the New Testament church. But there is yet another move of God that we have been waiting on. It will be when the dove flies again and the power of the Holy Spirit will be poured out in unprecedented ways around this world. If you are ready for that move of God, give the Lord praise in his house right now. I don't know how many of you are aware of this, But if you trace the history of every great revival, most of them started with a youth movement. You probably didn't know that. The largest church that has ever been on record in the world is David Youngie Cho's church in South Korea. It's the largest church in Seoul, Korea that's ever been recorded, with 1 million members. And that church was born, he was called to preach in a youth revival. He got healed in a tent revival from an Assembly of God evangelist who came in there and had a healing crusade, and he had tuberculosis and was dying. And they took him to this small tent, and he got healed, and his family was not even Christians. I think they were Hindu, and they were not even Christians, and they turned to Christianity because his body got healed. But it wasn't until a youth movement swept through Korea, and it lit such a fire that he became a pastor of a youth group that began to grow and eventually grew into the largest church in the world. The Jesus movement in the 1960s and 70s was a movement filled with young people who were turned upside down for God. This is a group of hippies, really, if I'm being honest with you. This is a group of hippies that got turned on, and they said, Jesus can take you higher than LSD. Jesus can take you higher than marijuana. Jesus can take you higher than heroin. The high that you get from Jesus is a better high that you can get on drugs. And there was a group of hippies that just found Jesus, and before you know it, there was an entire youth movement that blew across the America and literally reshaped Christianity in America in 2 decades, in the 60s and the 70s, as the Jesus movement swept across this country, reshaping our country. Most of you probably do not know this. I'll be honest with you, I did not know this either till I did the research. Billy Graham started his evangelism ministry preaching crusades for the youth for Christ. Before he was the crusade evangelist that you know, he was a youth crusade evangelist that got set on fire by preaching to young people, because the Youth for Christ movement swept across the United States, changing the landscape of America. But for the past several years, we also had Campus Crusade for Christ, which was another group that invaded campuses. But Somewhere along the way, ideologies crept into our college campuses and started challenging creation, started challenging the existence of God, started challenging the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, started challenging the cross and the resurrection. And before you know it, they began to use our universities to breed a toxin of anti-Christianity, of anti-Christ doctrine, that began to turn the youth away from God. But I'm telling you, God said, if America is going to see revival, it has to start with that generation that turned against me. It has to start with that generation that's been told lie after lie after lie, theological lies and ideological lies. And so God says, I'm going to blow upon the embers of the universities. We saw a youth movement start last year in 2024. I kept a record of this, and I could name every one of them if I had time to do this. 27 colleges, most of them, this was right after Asbury, 27 colleges, most of them were state universities, not Christian colleges, broke out in revival last year in 2024. We began to see a movement, but it wasn't enough. We saw a youth movement in 27 colleges, and that's enough to shout about. But this can't be a 27 college movement. This needs to be worldwide, and it needs to infect every college, and it needs to affect every college campus. We saw that revival beginning, and only God knew that there was a young man who could spearhead a revival, who could bring a turning point to the United States of America. And God said, said, I need you to be a martyr. But if you'll be a martyr, then your dreams will not only come true, but you will affect every campus in this country and around the world. And in one day, we heard a shot that was heard around the world as Charlie Kirk fueled and expanded a revival. See, Charlie Kirk, whether you realize it or not, has spurred the greatest youth movement in the history of the United States of America. It is bigger than anything we've ever seen. It is bigger than any movement. It is bigger than Campus Crusade. It is bigger than Youth for Christ. It is bigger than the Jesus movement. He has spurred the largest. He has lit the fire under campuses around this nation that you haven't even begun to see what God is about to do. We are at a turning point. You hear me? We are at a turning point. And the memorial service of Charlie Kirk was streamed to over 100 million homes. You get that? 100 million homes. There were 100,000 people that filled up not one, but two arenas. One that seated 80,000, another that seated 20,000, and another 100,000 people stood outside who could not get in, making his one of the largest Christian gatherings in the history of the United States, with 200,000 people in attendance to worship the Lord. And you know what they said? It's 100 million homes and 200,000 people. They didn't just hear about a funeral. They heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They heard one speaker after another speaker preaching. And guess what? These speakers did not call it a memorial service. Guess what they called it? They called it a revival.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand His kingdom around the world.